Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, September 13th, 2017. With me today, I have Kelly Goumont. How's it going, Kelly?
Pretty well, Jeff. How about you?
I'm doing all right. And John Martellaro, how are you?
Going good. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, John.
It's so great to have both of you here. It's also great that iMazing is our sponsor.
Great.
Yeah, iMazing. They make the app for your Mac and Windows computer that lets you back up your iOS devices. We'll be talking about that soon. But call it a hunch, you guys probably have stuff that you really, really want to say. So let's hop into it. and let's start with Apple TV 4K. And listeners, just in case you're listening to this like later on, and you're not sure why I'm just randomly saying, hey, 4K Apple TV, it's because yesterday was Apple's big media event where they introduced the iPhone 8, the iPhone 10, the Apple TV 4K, and Apple Watch Series 3. So yesterday we talked about the iPhone and the Apple Watch. And John, since you're here today, and I know you get all excited about Apple TV.
Delirious, as Jeff Butt says.
Yes.
What I was going to say was we just need to be quiet. And Jeff, you probably just need to say that two or three more times just for John's benefit.
Apple TV 4K.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Ooh.
So, John, how do you feel about Apple TV 4K?
Well, I have mixed feelings, of course. I'm happy to see it.
Of course you do.
It looks like a great device. Apple has included support for multiple high dynamic range modes, HDR10 and Dolby Vision.
Mm-hmm.
And HLG, which is broadcast simulation of high dynamic range. So the bits and pieces are there, the encoding. I think I found a typo on their text. On their tech specs page, they said H.264, and I think that they meant H.265 HEVC.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So,
unless they don't,
it's good. But I was a little bit annoyed that they didn't change the design to sort of get with the.
But they did. It's
fresh
taller.
Start. Still black brick, which I know you'd like, Jeff, and a lot of readers. I've had a lot of feedback from Twitter followers and readers to my article yesterday.
Let me guess.
They like the black brick.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I think the black brick looks nice. I really like the look. I think it's sleek. I think it's unobtrusive. And it's subdued on some level. It's just this thing that disappears into my home entertainment system.
Much like its remote disappears into your couch.
Yeah, much like every remote. And popcorn and change.
Well,
what
I'm afraid of is that it's going to sit on the shelf in the Apple retail stores like Apple did before. And then Apple's not going to celebrate it or get involved more heavily with the industry or make sure it's available from certain other retailers or do co-marketing arrangements and start getting involved more in the 4K community. If they just come out with this thing like as it always has been and put the black brick on the store shelves in the Apple retail stores and don't do anything else, it's going to suffer the same fate and derision as the previous version, which was kind of late.
Well, I have a feeling, I have a hope that that's not what will happen this time.
Yeah.
And reason being is because we now have Apple Music and Apple
and
has
Apple content, Apple TV content coming.
Yes. So we have these original shows that Apple's working on. We know that they're working on deals for more content, and that right there is reason enough for Apple to want to sell more Apple TVs.
Right. And if you're going to try to convince the studios that you can showcase their 4K content with the right technology, then you've got to get it out there and celebrate it and push it so that people go, oh, well, I'm going to watch 4K content from the studios. I'm going to want to watch it on Apple TV.
Right.
So let me ask you this, though. So the Apple TV itself is sort of a mystery because up until basically this rev of it, we didn't really know what it was for, what purpose it served, like what it was supposed to do. We all knew what we wanted it to do or wanted it to be. And we've spent a lot of time talking about that. But don't you think it's a little bit entertaining that as much as we accuse Apple of being a black box, they finally just started selling us one?
That is kind of funny.
Well, you know,
like, can we start there? But so, then my next question about it, though, is how seriously they're going to take this. And let me be honest, if there is anybody in a position to make something like this happen, I really there everything that is within my power to do to make this reality, I will absolutely do. And that is this. You know those videos that Apple makes that they only show at events that we never see again? I want a channel of that. And if Apple wants to talk to me about Apple original content, you give me a channel that has that, how it's made for the Mac, the black round Mac Pro, and all of the beautiful shots they gave us yesterday of the Steve Jobs Theater and the new Apple campus, and all of the stuff that they do, that's the how we make it. Let me show you the thing. Here's the introduction of the this. I will pay for Apple Music just to have that channel on my Apple TV.
Wow.
Because those videos are amazing.
They're amazing cool. For us in the industry, but aren't they really best shown in the context of an event?
No, because I would watch How It's Made by Apple all day long.
And the TV series How It's Made has been like
fascinated nerds
popular.
For decades.
I mean, who would have thought how Twizzlers are made would be fascinating?
Every single one of them is fascinating.
Yeah.
I want Apple to get the How It's Made people to just tell me how Apple stuff is made. I would buy that show. I would buy Apple Music to watch that show. I would buy a new Apple TV in order to get to see that show. Yes. Yes to all these things.
I think the idea of How It's Made as a technical series would be vetoed by Apple because it might give away proprietary and trade secrets.
Did they tell us anything proprietary about the Mac Pro? No, they did not. Do I still want to watch that video all day instead of whatever wacky screensaver they're feeding me? Yes, I do.
Let's talk about the remote.
Okay, let's talk about the remote.
Yes.
You know, Kelly,
I don't want Jeff to have to make edits.
Yeah, just remember, I don't like to edit.
Ooh la la. That's what I think of the remote. How's that? Now you don't have to edit.
John, what do you think about the remote?
I've been annoyed with the Apple remote since the day it came out.
Now, I
tend to brush my fingers against it. If I put it in my pocket and shift around, unwanted displays will come up. I often pick it up.
Why do you put your remote in your pocket?
That's my first question.
Well, because the coffee table is kind of far away from the couch. And so if I put it on the armrest, it'll fall overboard. And so if I want to have it handy, and usually there's a cat in my lap, so I want to have, okay. I can't reach over to the coffee table easily because my cat gets annoyed when I move around too much. So I keep it on me, but not on the armrest. And if I put it on the seat, it'll fall in between the cushions. And so the only reasonable place to put it is in my shirt pocket. And then it'll accidentally...
You need a lanyard so you can wear it like a necklace.
Well,
yeah, just plug it into the lightning.
And then it's symmetrical in that there's black flat areas on both ends. And so if you pick it up in the dark, it's off.
Yeah, but John, they fixed all that because they put a white circle around the menu button.
Oh, that solves everything, right?
See,
Adam Christensen made an interesting comment this morning about a reader who said, or a source that he saw that said that was a sort of halfway measure to solve a problem without going after the real problem.
I'd consider it a slap in the face.
I think it's a little insulting as well. And the thing that so at my house, the way we have managed the Apple remote problem, the Apple TV remote problem, is by not using the Apple TV remote. I have a Logitech Harmony remote, and I just went through the excruciating pain of making sure that it could control the Apple TV. And that's what I do now. So unless I want to show somebody something neat, like, have you seen the screensavers on the new Apple TV, and hit menu very quickly, I can do that much more accurately with the Apple remote than I can with the Logitech remote. But that's how we fixed it. Now, I also know that I know a lot of people have fashioned interesting solutions to this. You can go on like Etsy and a number of other places and find ways to help mitigate the problem of the Apple TV remote. But I feel like there's something that we're missing in this, and I'm trying to figure out what it is. I think somebody yesterday made a very good point in our chat as we were doing the live broadcast during the keynote of us watching the keynote. And they said it doesn't support multiple remotes, which means it's not fun to play games with people because you can't all eat, you can't each have a controller, you know, air quote. And I thought that was an interesting idea when what I would rather have is just a straight up controller that I could go buy cheaply and easily, because the controllers that I saw for the Apple TV are like $50 a piece.
Right. And but you can't have multiple controllers.
Right.
Just one remote.
Yeah. So, but I still don't want to end up a couple hundred bucks into it, you know, just to have enough controllers for the times I want to play games with other people. Now, some of them I know will allow you to use an iOS device, whether it's an iPhone or an iPad, as an additional controller, which is good. But it's still sort of frustrating that this is where we are now, you know, with the remote. I would think if anyone was going to be able to nail an interface, it would be Apple, and they really don't seem interested, and I find that sort of odd.
All right. So
before
we jump on to another topic,
we have to just say that John just agreed with me. We have to point that out.
And yeah. Oh, yeah. I do. I do often.
Yeah.
So. And I'm going to agree with you a lot in the next segment.
Very likely. John, are you going to buy the new Apple TV?
Yeah. My system is sort of coming together in my mind. I've picked out a AV receiver. I've picked out the 4K TV I want. The Apple TV kind of completes the suite. I'll stay with my regular Blu-ray player for a while until I find a good reason to buy a ultra-high definition Blu-ray player. But I think a regular Blu-ray player will be fine for now. So I was sort of coming together.
All right. And Kelly, how about you?
Maybe, but not now. I'm still really happy with the fourth generation that I have, and we have no 4K televisions or content at my house that would make the upgrade worthwhile yet, but it will be part of the discussion when that happens.
I'm in the same boat as you, Kelly. No 4K TV, so I'm not seeing any reason to upgrade from my Apple TV 4 today.
Now, I do want to point out there may be something compelling for people like you, Jeff, who are cord cutters, because I don't know how much of that stuff is going to come to the fourth gen Apple TV that we saw the live news and the live sports and some of that stuff. That's of a lot of interest to a lot of people who are cord cutting, and being able to get live local news, especially lately, seems to be very important, you know, when you need mm-hmm. weather updates and things like that. So I'm interested to see if any of that comes to the fourth gen, and if it doesn't, then we may have to bump up the conversation about the 4K Apple TV.
Yep. Same here. All right. Well, hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is iMazing, and quite frankly, iMazing needs to buy Apple a fruit basket, because Apple has done the best job possible of making iMazing a utility that you need. So here's the deal. iMazing is an app that you can buy for your Mac or your Windows PC. Once you've installed it, it manages the backups for your iOS devices. And it's not just, hey, here's a backup, but it's, hey, here's a backup where everything that you can possibly imagine in your backup is accessible. And this is a big deal, because iOS 11 is officially available next week. And iMazing supports iOS 11. I know it does, because I've been testing it with my iPhone and a couple iPads. And it's been great, because I know that as I've been messing around with developer betas, if something goes horribly wrong, I have a good backup in iMazing that I can roll back to. So why should Apple's or iMazing send Apple a fruit basket? Well, it's because iTunes 12.7 is out, and it no longer backs up the apps that you've downloaded to your iOS devices. Your data's still there, but the apps won't get backed up. So if you want a true full backup of your iOS device, especially with iOS 11 coming out, This is it, man. You guys got to go get iMazing. So here's what you do. Head over to their website, iMazing.com, iMazing.com/TDO. And you can download iMazing from there. And you're also going to get excuse me, a 20% discount. I'm all choked up because it's so exciting. 20% discount. So iMazing.com/TDO, get 20% off iMazing for an individual user or a group. That's a sweet deal. And you need this. Just go get it. Trust me. iMazing.com/TDO. Thank you, iMazing, for being our sponsor. All right. So the sponsor today actually is a wonderful segue into our second topic today. And I kind of gave us a setup. iTunes 12.7 came out yesterday afternoon, so Tuesday afternoon. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that Apple is trying to do with iTunes is streamline it, and I have to use streamline very loosely and do air quotes at the same time.
Yeah, you do.
Because iTunes is a very bloated thing right now. but they're trying to, it'd be better to say they're trying to rein the focus back in. So it's more about entertainment content. So music and movies and TV shows sort of mm-hmm. thing. But still it's this conglomeration of all these other things. So what happened was this new version comes out and it takes iTunes U and puts it into the podcast section because, of course, that makes sense.
Sure.
And it takes ringtones and just kind of pulls that out. Ringtones you buy, those mm-hmm. are managed on your iOS device now. Well, you're on your iPhone now. And then iTunes will still back up your iOS devices, but it does not back up the third-party apps that you've downloaded. So what that means is that if you do a restore from a backup, your data gets restored, but any apps that you've previously installed re-download from the App Store as opposed to coming in from your backup. So it doesn't mean you have to go and manually select each app and download it. They'll download on their own, but they come from the App Store, not from your backup. So what do you guys think?
I think it's pluses and minuses. There's some minuses with respect to the time it takes to download over the internet to restore your apps. The layout for the home screen manager is gone because the app entry is gone. But on the negative side, why simplify an app by just cutting out features without an adequate replacement? I mean, we've talked for years about having logical modules, mm-hmm. but and we've talked about taking a wood chipper to the whole app as Kelly's mentioned in the past, and I agree, but if you're going to, you know, just arbitrarily delete functionality, is that the right way to simplify an app? And I have a feeling Kelly has some thoughts.
The answer is no, John. And the reason that it's no is because you didn't give me an option outside of that from Apple. Now, this is why, in fact, here's the funny thing is that just before the show started, I said, you know, Jeff, now is the time for iMazing to start going, hey, we're going to sponsor some podcasts. And Jeff said, oh, you mean like today's sponsor, iMazing?
Yeah.
So the reason I'm frustrated by this is because of the ripple effect of it. So if I can't back up my phone, I can back up my phone to my laptop, which is what I do now with 12.6. I can do this. I have the app layout screen. All of that is fine. So I have a fair number of apps, and I was just having this conversation with somebody the other day about how much I overthink the layout of the apps on my home screen. Like, I base stuff on where my thumb can reach, and mostly I use my thumb, my phone in my left hand. So the stuff I use most has to go over on the left. But when I'm in the car, if I have to pick my phone up and, like, you know, launch the music app or something, because I'm doing that while the car is starting or I'm adjusting the temperature or whatever, and I'm not driving, I pick up my phone with my right hand. And when I pick up my phone with my right hand, I need the stuff that I use in the car to be on the right hand side so that my right thumb can reach it. This is the level of thought that has gone into my home screen. I want it to be exactly what it is. And if I am trying to restore backup to my phone from my laptop and I don't have the internet from now on, I'm not going to get the apps. I'm not going to get my apps downloaded.
But Kelly, hasn't Apple always assumed that the internet is pervasive no matter where you go?
Well, of course.
Yes, they have.
Not just pervasive, but isn't that a reasonable bandwidth?
Yeah, isn't that a reasonable assumption to make?
No. It is not a reasonable assumption. I mean,
unless you're in an icebreaker in the Antarctic, and even they have internet now.
Okay, but if it's such a reasonable assumption, why hasn't Apple lifted the 100 megabyte download limit? If I have to download apps on my phone and I'm not on Wi-Fi, it makes the App Store have a cow. Why is that? So the reason this is frustrating to me is because A, if I don't have internet, then I don't have my apps. And B, it seems like what they're trying to do is make backup suck so bad on my laptop that I use the cloud. But guess what? There is no free backup tier that is available if I want to backup everything on my phone to iCloud. I have to pay for backup, and I have to pay quite a bit for backup at this point because the smallest phone they just released is 64 gigabytes. And who's going to pay for, you know, in case backup? Loads and loads and loads of people aren't backing anything up at all now. So now you're going to tell them, oh, by the way, not only did you just drop $1,000 on a phone, but now you have to give us an extra couple $100 a year for backup
storage. But the apps run, what, 10, 20 megabytes each. If you have 20 or 30 apps, you only have, what, 400 or 500 megabytes of apps.
And if you're my mother-in-law, your phone is Photos and the Facebook app. And she's not going to pay for backup for, you know, 30 gigabytes of photos and then OS and then the Facebook app. Like, she's not going to pay for that. And so, like, literally, I have backups of all my family members' devices on my laptop because, you know, in case. And through Apple technology alone, I'm not going to be able to do that anymore. So instead of paying for iCloud service, what I'm going to end up doing is using iMazing, which I purchased, because it's the only way I'm going to be able to do that from now on. Because first of all, I have my apps arranged just so. I'm really fussy about that.
That is the most OCD description of app layout I've ever heard. But
What? That's the high level, John. I didn't even get into it as far as I needed to.
Kelly?
There's a whole top row that I don't really use because I can't reach it effectively. Yeah. So this is why I get frustrated.
We should start a support group because... because my home screen is arranged much like yours.
I feel like there's a story in this. We should write something in Mac Observer and we'll have people like, you know, apparently John, who's like, yeah, I install them. And then the prevailing winds are from the west,
on page one and then next used apps are page two. And then after that, they're grouped by logic, by how they function.
And then I have a folder in the dock and there's a whole story behind that too. And it's a whole thing. And so I am frustrated by this because I commonly end up in areas where there is little to no cell phone service, let alone regular internet service. And I don't live in an unpopulated area, but between Portland and the Oregon coast, there's a long stretch of basically dead space. And, you know, that's one reason people are like, oh, why don't you just stream all your music? And I'm like, because sometimes I drive to the Oregon coast. And when I do that, there's like half the trip where I can't get any reception. So no. And I understand that I am probably in a minority, but I don't understand why, if they're going to make the store, if they're going to make iTunes better, they're not going to give me the alternative like I already told them to do like 3 years ago now, when Jeff put together the beautiful shot of the Weasley's house, the burrow, with each of the different pieces of iTunes peeking out the window.
That was fun to make.
It was a beautiful image. And that's what I just keep thinking of, is like, let's take away the one thing that's actually, like, there are two things in iTunes that are actually useful, and it's the backup and it's the music player. And we're going to take one of those away from you, and we're not going to give you an option instead.
Yeah. Well, call it a hunch. You guys aren't happy with the changes to iTunes.
You could say that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm kind of disappointed too. I'm glad that it's not a thing where they say, oh, your only backup option for your iOS device is iCloud. That would have been horrible.
Well, if they do that, I'm going to raise bleep deleted.
Thank you, John.
John will be raising ooh-la-la.
John will be raising a big bucket of ooh-la-la, and he's going to throw it right at a fan, just a hunch.
Yep.
So that said, I just think it's kind of crazy that we can't back up our third-party apps through iTunes anymore, which also means that apps that you need to hold on to that aren't available in the App Store anymore, Apple doesn't give you a way to do that. So now it's back to iMazing. And hey, we're out of time, so we have to wrap up. Kelly, thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I apologize, listeners. I'm a register lower than usual. We had karaoke last night. It was very enthusiastic.
That's okay. I laud your karaoke enthusiasm. John, thank you for being here.
Hey, you're very welcome. Bye, Kelly.
Bye, John.
And iMazing, thank you for being our sponsor today. And really, fruit basket time. Head over to the iMazing website, iMazing.com/TDO, and pick up your copy of iMazing so you can back up iOS 11 and all your apps and everything else that's on your iPhone, iPad, or whatever, the way you want and the way you need. iMazing.com/TDO. Plus, you get 20% off. Listeners, thank you for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.